How y'all doing? Good. I see a few jerseys out there. I am wearing the Washington Nationals jersey, not because I care a lick about the Washington Nationals, because it has this cool W on it, and my last name starts with a W. I know it. Isn't that amazing? So, today's a baseball theme, and the title of my message this morning is Still in the Game. And you know the song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, Take Me Out to, Buy Me Some Peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back, because it's root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, because it's one. Two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. All right. I thought I lost you there for a moment. Okay. One of the most prominent things when you think about baseball is the three strikes and you're out. It's one of the first things that comes to mind. In fact, when we were looking forward to this day, back to church Sunday, we always try to do some special theme to kind of drum up some excitement. We thought about baseball, and that was the first thing that came to our mind is, well, the most notable thing about baseball is three strikes and you're out. You know, there's more to the game than that, but that's one of the things that stands out the most. And that concept has even made it into other parts of our culture. In fact, it's in our legal proceedings now. There are so-called three-strike laws that require the justice system to impose steeper penalties on somebody who already has two fouls against them. It's a three-strike law. You may have even heard a story or something like this story, like this. A couple was celebrating their golden wedding anniversary, and their domestic tranquility had long been the talk of the town. So they just had this really good marriage, quiet, and they seemed to love each other. A local newspaper reporter was inquiring as to the secret of their long and happy marriage. "Well, it dates back to our honeymoon," explained the man. "We visited the Grand Canyon and took a trip down to the bottom of the canyon by pack mule. We hadn't gone too far when my wife's mule stumbled." My wife quietly said, "That's once." "We proceeded a little further, and the mule stumbled again. Once more, my wife quietly said, "That's twice." "We hadn't gone a half mile when the mule stumbled the third time, and my wife quietly removed a revolver from her pocket and shot the mule dead. I started to protest over her treatment of the mule when she looked at me and quietly said, "That's once." Three-strike rule. It's very familiar. It's a normal part of our society to think in those terms. You know, three strikes and you're out. In fact, you may have had a friend who hurt you, and you give them another chance. But a lot of times, if it's the third time, then you're done. You're no longer friends with that person. We're very familiar with the three strikes and you're out. But God does not operate by human standards. Last week, we talked about Peter's story from Matthew 26 and John 21. And we remember how the night Jesus was arrested, Peter betrayed him and actually denied that he even knew him three times. Three times he did that. And that night, I can tell you, the Lord sure could have used a friend to stand by him, because he was in one of the worst trials of his life. And yet here, one of his best friends failed him three times. But that did not mean that Peter was out. As we discovered last week in John 21, Jesus gave Peter actually three more chances. And Peter came through. In fact, Jesus gave Peter even more responsibility after that time. And I think that Peter felt like a failure and that he must be pretty useless to the Lord. but he was not out. Not in God's eyes. God doesn't operate by human standards. In John chapter 4, the story of the Samaritan woman who met Jesus at the well and they had the conversation. She had three strikes against her. First, she was a woman. And back in that day and in that culture, that was a strike against her because she should not be having a conversation with a man, let alone a rabbi. That was not supposed to happen. Second, she was a Samaritan. And in those days, the Jews, and Jesus was a Jew, the Jews looked down on the Samaritans and thought of them as second-class citizens of a mixed race and not really the people of God. And third, she was an adulterer. She had three strikes against her. But in Jesus' eyes, she was not out. Even she knew that she didn't have a right to speak with Jesus, but he still interacted with her and even offered her living water, eternal life. She was not out, even with her three strikes against her. And the story goes on that says, because of her testimony, many in the town believed in Jesus. And then they invited Jesus to speak to them, and even more came to believe. All because this woman with three strikes against her was not really out in God's eyes. I think perhaps the disciples even knew a little something about the three-strike rule. They had a conversation with Jesus one time about forgiveness. And they asked the Lord, how many times should we forgive somebody? And they were patting themselves on the back, thinking, we're going to outdo the three-strike rule. Lord, should we forgive seven times? They were willing to more than double the standard. But Jesus completely blew them out of the water and said, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven times. In essence, Jesus is saying, forgiveness is unlimited. There is no three-strike rule. Now, we might tend to follow the three-strike rule. Three strikes and you're out. But God has completely different standards. He is always willing to forgive. Get that. God is always willing to forgive. Some of you just need to hear that today. God is always willing to forgive. He's always willing to give another chance. Now let me paint you a picture using 1 John 1:9 as a reference. Here's what the scripture says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So let me put this verse on a baseball diamond to help illustrate. This is just my thought. I'm not teaching a particular theology of rounding the bases, but it makes sense to me. You're up to bat, and you need a home run. The enemy is the pitcher, and he is pitching accusations at you. And quite frankly, most of his accusations are right. Okay, did you know that? We think of the enemy, the Bible says he is a liar, but when he accuses you, actually he's telling the truth quite a lot when he makes his accusation. I mean, can we admit that that's probably true, that a lot of times what he points out in us is he's right? Yeah, I have sinned in that level. So he is pitching his accusations at you, and you're getting struck out. Here's the picture. You are a T-ball level batter. Okay? If it's not on the tee, you can't hit it at all. And he is a world-class pitcher. You're getting struck out. You don't have a chance of getting a base hit at all. But there's another interesting part about baseball that you can still get on first base without hitting the ball. If the ball hits you, you get an automatic first base. And here the deal is the enemy wants to hurt you. So you actually have a shot at getting on first base if you'll just take the hit with his accusation. That's an automatic first base. Now, that hit is probably going to hurt, and it could hurt a lot, but it means an automatic first base. This is confession. The enemy throws the accusation. You take the hit, and you confess, that's right. I am guilty. So you confess. You're automatically on first base. But now you're hurt because he throws a really mean fastball. And you are hurt, and there is no way you're going to be able to run the rest of the bases. So in comes the pinch runner, Jesus. He's going to run the rest of the bases for you. And he is faithful and just. That gets you to second base. He forgives our sins. That gets you to third base. And he purifies you from all unrighteousness. That gets you all the way home. All you did was take that initial hit by confessing that you were guilty. Jesus does all the rest of the work for you to make a home run. You made it. But here's even better news. Maybe you have already struck out. You're beyond the three strikes. You failed so miserably and you haven't really owned up to it. You are out. But not in God's eyes. There's no such thing as a three-strike rule with God. If you'll just step up to the plate and admit that you need a Savior, God will advance you to first base. And then Jesus can take you all the way home. And sometimes it's not even in regards to sin. Sometimes we simply feel left out and useless. Anybody identify with that? We feel like we've struck out in life. We've lost it all. But here's the good news. God still sees potential in each one of us. It's not three strikes and you're out. You are still in the game. Now, in the midst of preparing for today's message, I decided to take a break and watch a video link that I had saved actually a few weeks ago. It's from a speaker named Bob Sorge. I've read some of his books. I've actually heard him speak once. And I'm on his mailing list, so I get little emails about things he's writing or whatever. And he produced this video recently, and he sent me a link. And I just tucked it away thinking someday I'll watch that. So I was doing all this prep work, and I decided I'm going to watch that video. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And so I decided to bring in a heavy hitter to finish out the sermon today and let you hear Bob Sorge in his video and be encouraged by it. are still in the game. Still in the game. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. But you need to know you're still in the game. Philippians 3:12-14. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I did not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You are still in the game. Don't give up. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word and that powerful testimony that was shared on the video this morning. Lord, you are still for us. You are still with us. And you are not done with us yet. And we say thank you, Jesus. We can never thank you enough. Help us, Lord, to see our situation through your eyes. Not get so focused on our immediate circumstances that we lose sight of the big picture, that you are still in charge. You are still the Lord of all. And you are faithful and just, and you can take us all the way home. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would speak words of encouragement to hearts today. Not just from what I said or what Bob said in the video, but by your Spirit, Lord, that you would just speak right into the heart of people words of encouragement. You're still in the game. You're not out yet. I'm still. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray for your grace and your mercy to strengthen us and carry us forward. It's all in your power anyway, God. We are just your servants. But thank you for this word today. Help us to follow you wholeheartedly as we round the bases all the way home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's blessings on you. Go Team Jesus. And we'll see you over at McCose Park here.